This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight that we're trying to make seem like a Wednesday night edition, but it really seems more like a Monday night edition because we had some technical difficulties that Chris Casper and his crew, Eric, Andrew, who else was involved in there? Maybe Sage. They got it figured out, and we are very thankful to them. So we are back on the air, ready to roll. If there was a good night for Earl Ingram to have to cancel because he was on a movie set. I don't know if you heard that part, Conrad.
That's just awesome.
It's very awesome. Very awesome. You know, If I may, the word awesome,
yeah,
totally misused.
Oh yeah, I use it. I'm an optician at Costco, and I use it all the time. Like, you like these glasses? Awesome.
Yeah, they're not awesome. The glasses.
It's not awesome.
Childbirth is awesome.
Exactly.
You know, some type of miracle, but people say it all the time. Like, right. What'd you do last night? Watch Law and Order. Awesome. Not really. okay, so this is exciting. That man next to me, if you're watching on the stream, his name is Daniel Wheeler. He is a Menasha-based filmmaker who has a film called The Last Witch in Wisconsin that will be playing this Friday at the Waiwega International Film Festival, correct?
Yes.
And at this Saturday's Milwaukee Independent Film Awards.
Yes.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, all right, before we get into, tell us about your film. What's it about? Lay it on us.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it's about two gentlemen that travel to the rural town of Marion, Wisconsin. They are going there to meet with a mother and son who have information on Margaret Shaw, who is a legend in the area and supposedly, according to Karen, the last witch in Wisconsin.
So this is based on a real person?
No.
I just blew your cover. I'm right. Sorry.
But you know what? It's not. No, it's... It's something I just made up everything, which is fun. But, yeah, as far as, like, you know, hoaxes and everything, I think a hoax is just as great as a legend.
Totally. Yeah. And, all right, for those just joining us, hold up. This is Margaret Shaw?
Yes.
Okay. For anyone, this is not based on a real person, so if there's anybody out there named Margaret or Maggie or Peg Shaw,
yeah,
this has nothing to do with them. This is Andrew's own creation from his demented mind.
Right.
He made this in the shower with a chainsaw, and his wife is still married to him. So there you go. So that's really cool, though. That's creepy. And that's, have you ever done any, like, what's in your background? That, like, I would never think to make something like that. You
have
art background?
I do. Yeah, I have 30 years of being an artist. And I got Bachelor of Fine Arts from UW-Milwaukee back in the 90s.
Nice.
And then I have a degree in audio production. And I've just been, all those kind of culminate into this. So painting, everything, and then self-taught on a lot of programs. So, you know, 90% of the film is me doing the work, which kind of works out. I mean, if you want to, you know, do your own thing. Sometimes, you know, you can't wait for Hollywood to hopefully pick up your script.
Right. Oh, and that's kind of the drill in independent film, right? You do a lot of, you wear a lot of hats. It's a labor of love and a passion project. How long did you have this film in your head before you decided to make it? And when did you decide? When was that moment where you're like, okay, this is an idea. I love the idea. I just have to make it or it's never going to get made.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because so I did this painting that had this kind of creepy masked figure with antlers in the middle of a lake, and I really like that imagery. And then fast forward some months, I go and I meet up with, and this kind of goes back to me trying to get into the local scene more. I've never been a huge networking kind of guy, and I'm like, okay, Dan, it's time to change that. My buddy Tom Thorne introduced me to a whole cast of characters in the Fox Cities area there. And so talking with them kind of got me inspired. And then, but the real thing was, is when I got to go out to Craig and Karen's farmhouse in Marion, because Craig, as you said, is a filmmaker. He made this amazing cabin for a film of his back in the day, and has a Viking theme to it. And he showed me it, and it's just dilapidated now. It's got like moss all over the shingles, and it's, you know, all weathered. I'm like, wow, this has got to be a backdrop for some kind of horror film.
Yeah.
And then I met his mother, Karen, and there's no correlation there. She's not scary. She's as sweet as pumpkin pie, or apple pie. but anyway, but she's very kind of stoic and sweet, but, you know, great. And so when I met her, that I think was the end piece, because I needed to do this. And I asked Craig, do you think your mom would be interested in being in the film? Because I need her. I need this kind of matriarch, you know, to, tell the story of Margaret Shaw. And he's, I don't know, you know, she's done some work with Craig, so she's not unfamiliar to the camera and everything, but I promised her, you don't have to learn any lines.
Okay.
I'm going to feed all the lines to you, and I'm going to edit it in such a way that each cut and everything, it looks like you're doing a full, you know, sentence. But I didn't want to put pressure on her to like, can you know your lines or what?
You right. know?
Yeah, and she was just the best to put up with that.
And you have to book people like that in an indie film. You can't fly actors in. You have to go with what you have access to and be resourceful. So is it hard to make a short film about the paranormal on a small budget? How long is the film?
It's 13 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good length. And then what was that like? I mean, you're good with makeup and effects mm-hmm. to a degree, but like when it comes to the camera and using paranormal things, is that hard to shoot on a small budget, or do you have to let the effects go and just kind of go with the eerie? Well, how do you do that?
Yeah, a lot of this was more implied eeriness, kind of like a Blair Witch more okay. than a...
That is exactly what when I saw that, honestly, yeah. I thought it had a Blair Witch.
Exactly, yeah, and that I love that film. Yeah, when you don't have a budget for a lot of gore and masks and everything, then you got to get a little creative. And so, yeah, a lot of implied... you know, the Karen's performance, it was a wonderful outcome that she didn't know the lines. So every time she says a line, it almost feels like not segmented, you know? So
yeah.
you wonder, is she okay? Is she, cause it's kind of, implied by her son in the script that there's something wrong with my mom. Why are you coming out here talking about Margaret Shaw with her? You know, she's not doing well. And so her kind of performance and delivery of the lines kind of adds to that whole feel. Like, is she, you know, possessed?
My guest is Daniel Wheeler. He's a filmmaker based in Menasha. You can see his film, The Last Witch in Wisconsin, this Friday night at the Waiwega Film Festival, Waiwega International Film Festival, and Saturday night at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. It'll be playing at both festivals. Did you write the script as well?
I did.
Okay, so you wrote it, directed it. Are you in it?
Yep.
Oh, wow. So what was your favorite hat to wear during the process?
The editing. Yeah.
Editing.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny, like even the, you know, what I filmed for the end wasn't even what I used for the end. It was some B-roll that I'm
crazy?
Like, oh, that's a better ending.
Such a weird journey, the editing part. You know what I mean? Like, it's exciting. And it's fun to edit when you sit back and you've got everything.
Yeah.
And now you just try to make it work, right? I mean, it's crazy. That's really, how did you say you work at an optical?
Yeah, Costco Optical in Grand Chute.
Okay. So how did you, is this something that's been festering in you for a long time? The idea that you have to make a film, or how did this, what made you want to go for it?
I thought you were talking about glasses, because
that's your first love.
Not so much. Yeah. They're awesome.
they're awesome.
Well, I've jumped around. I've worn a lot of hats. And that in the early days, that kind of bothered me. Like, I thought, you stick to painting. That's what you do. You stay on that row. And, but then I'm like, I really like music. I like this 4-track cassette thing. Mm. I want to write something. So I start writing music. And then, but then I feel like, I've taken a mistress in art here. And, but then I'm just kind of embraced it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to school for audio. And so all those things, you know, I'm self-taught in Photoshop and video editing, and that, you know, it's the idea, whatever idea I had, I needed to pick the medium for it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So yeah, you've worn a lot of hats. This has been kind of an interesting journey. And he also, folks, makes matchbook covers. Let me see if I can get this close. This is the Last Witch in Wisconsin book of matches. They do still make matches. So I don't. Does matches have a use for anything other than the restroom? Or do people still? Because everybody's got like those torch lighters now, right? Or the.
Yeah.
But this is cool. It's the Last Witch in Wisconsin. Do you have merch for sale?
Well, I got this shirt, this sweatshirt on right here.
It's very nice. You made something for yourself, but
yeah. No, if you go to thelastwitchinwisconsin.com. You will see, you'll get to see the trailer and there's more information. And then, yeah, there's a merch shop set up there with crazy stuff.
That's really cool. I wish you luck with the screenings. If people want tickets, I assume they just go online and Google Waiwega Film Festival, Milwaukee Independent Film Awards.
Go to that same URL and thelastwitchinwisconsin.com, and it's got all the links you need.
You got a good venue?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing
it. Waiwega's at the Opera House, right?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be spectacular.
Yeah.
What about Milwaukee?
The Bend Theater in, that's going to be Sunday night, actually. But yeah, the Bend Theater in West Bend, just seeing the pictures, it looks super great, too. So it'll be fun to hear the audio, you know, at the level it's meant to be.
That's really interesting that you're such an audio guy and you're geeking out over the audio of your moving picture. I think that's so funny. But I wish you luck, and it's so exciting that you're going to get to see it with a live audience and see the reactions. That's very exciting, and I'm excited for you. Do you believe in the paranormal?
I don't. I think that's part of the journey. I kind of wish I did, and so we'll get into that another time.
You know, Conrad, this guy's like an audio genius. Where were you when we were having all those problems in the first hour?
Well, I was
some
driving.
Kind of movie promotion or something?
I was driving on the way here, and and I'm hearing it, and I'm like, you know, I'm coming. I'm still coming. Maybe I'll get to help Conrad, you know?
Maybe that's what put you over the top, and now you do believe in the paranormal.
Right.
Daniel Wheeler, thanks so much for being here, and
thanks
for making the drive from Menasha, from the Burbs.
Yes.
It's been good to get to know you, and best of luck with the screenings this weekend.
Appreciate that.
You got it. All right, when we come back, we're talking Dungeons & Dragons. Admittedly, I don't know a ton about this, but I'm very excited to talk to Kurt. He is coming up next. He's going to tell us about this great event at the Wisconsin Historical Society that he has founded, and we'll learn more together from Kurt. This is Nightlight with Peach Baba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Best workout song ever. I'm telling you. You haven't asked me how much I can bench recently, Conrad.
How much can you bench?
110. Twice.
Is that a new PR?
No. I just think it's so funny that there's people still, like when I was in high school, everything is like, what do you bench? Stupid as that.
You know, actually, that was a big competition in my high school. Who could bench the most?
Of course it is.
And, you know, I got up there.
Did you?
Yeah.
I had a good bench because I did a lot of push-ups, so it's kind of the same. So I would bench stuff, and people go, you can't bench that. I'm like, I can't. I'm not making it up, but I can bench. It's 480, you know. Okay, so this is exciting. We have, I admittedly do not know too much about Dungeons & Dragons, and I have friends that play it that are very passionate about it. So when my friend Rebecca at the Wisconsin Historical Society offered to introduce me to this next guest, I was pretty excited because I think enough of our listeners probably are fans of Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm curious about it too. So I appreciate this guy, our next guest coming on. His name is Kurt Griesemer, and he is from the Wisconsin Historical Society, and he joins us now over the stream on Nightlight. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Pete, how's it going?
Am I saying your last name correctly?
So close. You're actually much closer than 99% of people. It's just Griezmer.
Griezmer. Okay. I'm in the 99 percentile. I like
that. You'd be great.
It sounds important. Welcome to Nightlight. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you. How's it going?
We're doing great. You have a nice studio there. It looks like you do this kind of thing a lot, I assume, if you have a home studio or...
Well, yeah, I'm the lead singer-songwriter in an Irish band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we do our recording, most of it here, actually.
What's the name of the band?
The Tools, T-O-O-L-E-S.
Okay, T-O-O-L-E-S, what does that mean? Does that mean tools, like tools?
No, it just, just picked it out of a hat, honestly. It goes with a couple of in-jokes with the band.
Okay, fair enough. Do you guys play around? Is it like a full-time side hustle?
Currently, I've got my arm in a sling, but it is a full-time side hustle. We pick up again in January, and we'll go pretty strong through till April.
I love Irish music. Are you a fan of the Chieftains?
Chieftains are great. More of a Flogging Molly guy myself.
Oh, I don't know Flogging Molly. Okay, what's
Yeah, more recent. Check them out. They're fantastic.
I'm totally blanking, but the song The Hills of Connemara is... what is it? Epic Celtic? I'll find out, Kurt. You're not here to talk about Irish music. The last thing you probably want to talk about.
No, happy to, but you know, that's how it goes.
What happened to your arm?
Tore it basically building and moving furniture around about almost a year ago now.
Okay. I thought you were going to say it was an old bass accident or something, like you plucked the wrong string.
Something exciting. I was rolling dice playing D&D and suddenly I felt a sharp pain in my shoulder.
All right, so. Before we get to Dungeons & Dragons, you are the K through 12 education manager at the Wisconsin Historical Society. What are your duties as that title? Is that just setting up programs for kids, or tell us what you do there?
Yeah, actually, my favorite title is Jackknife of Education at the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Love
so,
it.
Manager of Education Initiatives, I do a lot of content pieces, and I do work with teachers and students, so... Currently, I'm writing the second D&D module from the society and the third edition of our textbook that goes out to tens of thousands of kids all over the state, write lesson plans, help out at the makerspace, which is what we're using for a museum right now. Whatever comes to mind for the society folks.
So let's just jump into D&D because I have to admit, here's my experience, Kurt. When I was probably in eighth grade, I played Dungeons & Dragons on a video game. The console was called, I think, Intellivision. It was not a great graphic, you know, breakthrough or anything. It was very rudimentary as far as video
games
went.
I had one.
Did you really?
I did. My parents wouldn't buy me an Atari. They got me an Intellivision.
I didn't know if there was a drop-off there or not. Is that where we looked down upon for the Intellivision?
No, there were just fewer kids who had the Intellivision, so who could you trade games with?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, it was a really fun game to play. That's my only knowledge of Dungeons & Dragons, but I have a lot of friends who like the game. Can you explain what it is to people who don't play?
Sure. So Dungeons & Dragons is what's called a role-playing game or a tabletop role-playing game. And that the concept is that it's a game that continues over time or from session to session. So you play a character with a certain set of statistics and skills. So you could be a fighter, and of course you're good at fighting things, right? With weapons and wearing armor. You could be a magic user or a wizard, and you'd be good at casting spells. A cleric is a support kind of healing kind of character, and so on. And so all these characters have different powers and skills. And unlike a sort of a board game where there's an end in sight all the time, like a win-lose scenario, in D&D, you can win or lose, but the game keeps going on because these characters, they grow over time with you. So as you invest in them and create like a personality for them, your fighter might think they can take on anything in the whole world. And no matter how many times they're proven wrong, they never change, right? They're always charging straight ahead. Your characters then grow in power and skills and get better over time. And so you work together with your party to basically play this game. And the person who's running the game is the dungeon master or game master. And they have a good idea of how all the rules work together. There's a world or scenario or something that they've come up with that you're interacting with. And so together you tell this collaborative story where you're the heroes or sometimes, I guess, villains in the story working to thwart the monsters or villains on the other side.
Wow, that was a pretty good synopsis. All right, so we have to do a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to hear all about Kurt's program. And this is something you set up just for the National Historical or the Wisconsin Historical Society, correct?
Yeah, it's a module called Wisconsin Adventures, Myths, and Legends.
All right, that sounds really cool. Okay, so, and this is all board game stuff. It has nothing to do with video games or anything like that. It's person-to-person interaction board games.
That's right. You're right. Okay. So it's like I said. It's played. You don't even need a board. You can play it in what's called the theater of the mind. But it's definitely with other people. It is not a video game. It is a cooperative, interactive storytelling experience.
Imagine that. Okay. So we'll hear more about that from Kurt when we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. We're talking Dungeons and Dragons 50th anniversary. And a new program that Kirk created called Wisconsin Adventures at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Great stuff. More to come. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
So our question tonight, in honor of National Soup for the Soul Day, National Chicken Soup for the Soul Day, is what is your favorite kind of soup? Kind of an easy one tonight, but we've heard soups tonight that I've never even heard of, so that's kind of exciting. Steady Eddie checks in from the 608 and says, Pete, my favorite soup is a McDonald's chocolate shake that I pour onto a bowl and eat with a spoon. I call it my summertime gelato gazpacho. Steady half-fast Eddie. I love it. Steady Eddie never disappoints. He's a master of the text. You guys, all the texts tonight have been fantastic. Keep them coming. If you want to get in on the fun, I will read it on the radio. Right now, my guest is Kurt Griesmer. He is the manager, education manager for the Wisconsin Historical Society, grades K through 12. Kurt, I got to say, that sounds like a really fun gig, especially when you're putting together programs like this with Dungeons and Dragons. Is there a lot of educational value in playing Dungeons and Dragons? Like, does it fit right in with your title?
Yeah, that's kind of the sneaky thing about it. When kids are learning things, they don't even know it, right?
Absolutely.
It's obviously, we talked about storytelling, right? So you've got that whole thing where there's a story being created and everybody at the table is part of that story. So you're all creating a piece of that story as you go forward. There's learning to work with others. There's learning to do things on your own. There's leadership skills that you're going to learn. There's basic math you have to know to play the game. You have to be able to read and sit through a whole bunch of rules and figure out how the game is played, or have a good friend who can teach you right away. Yeah. There's artistic pieces in the game where you can draw. And I mean, there's just a whole host of educational goodness that goes on with Dungeons and Dragons.
Where can people, if they do want to learn or start playing the game based on what they've heard? Because I think a lot of people may have thought it was a video game like me. So where can they learn more about the game if they do want to try it out?
Yeah, so there's a ton of places. In fact, in Madison, we have the Madison League of Adventures League, where people can just show up on the whatever night they happen to have their games going on and join into a game that's actively happening. So libraries are a good way to take a look at it. There's online communities that are doing it now. So even though it's not a video game, you can play it online with a video map and icons. Roll20 is one of those places. You can buy the starter set if you'd like to buy that. I'm sure Wizards of the Coast would be happy to sell you. All sorts of things to get you started on the game. You could do what we did, which is download for free the rules in the SRD, which I either mean System Resource Development or System Resource Document. I'm not great with that acronym. But yeah, there's tons of ways to get into it. The best way is to find a group that's already playing so they can help walk you through the basics of getting started.
Well, how long? You said the game doesn't really end. So how can people, if someone does want to try and jump into a group that's already going, how does that work?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to think about it. There's something called one shots, which are designed for one evening of play. So you might have to go and save the town from the raiding, marauding bugbears or orcs or whatever, right? And that's like a one, you got one mission and off you go. And when that mission's over, the game is basically done. So you might not even use those characters ever again. They might be made just for that adventure. You might just join a long-running campaign, and new players are always being introduced to campaigns because in D&D, your character, it can die, right? And sometimes you come back. Sometimes you just say, no, I'm done with that. You get a new character. So new people, new characters are always being introduced to the game. And so it's just, again, it's like this never ending story. And if you wanted to join in, a DM's going to say, okay, well, they're going to meet you here in the inn, and you get to decide, you know, where are you sitting? What are you drinking? What do you want to do? So like, it's really that sort of flexible game.
That sounds really fun. Tell us more about your program. If people want to come to the Wisconsin Historical Society and try Wisconsin Adventures, how does that? Is this just a chapter within Wisconsin Adventures? Okay, so Wisconsin right. Adventures is an ongoing program you have.
Right, Wisconsin Adventures. So it's a module. So what a module is it's a set of adventures or an adventure that people can play. So the person who's running the game, the game master or dungeon master, is going to buy a module or pick up a module. They're going to read through it, understand how the story works, get to know all the characters, you know, the non-player characters, the people that the DM is going to be inhabiting, their personalities, what they're doing. And then they're going to get their players together, and the players are going to go and do the stories inside of here. So this is basically a contained set of stories, adventures, maps, you know, of different locations within the game for players to explore. And so even though it's not a standard board game, you can still buy pieces like this that help you get started. So you don't have to create everything from scratch, although creating everything from scratch is a lot of fun. And kind of how I got started being a DM is because I really wanted to make my own things, and it's just sort of carried on. And, you know, I've got all these hand-drawn pencil maps that go into building all the adventures that are in this. So Wisconsin Adventures Myths and Legends has three different things for heroes to do. There's Night at the Museum, where you're trying to find out what happened to a knight who tried to go rescue some people at a museum. There's Hunt for the Hodag, where you hunt down the mythical Hodag Northwoods, Wisconsin. And there's The Beast of Bray Road, where you try to solve a werewolf mystery, which is kind of popularized around the Elkhorn area here.
I've heard about that. What's your take on that whole werewolf situation?
I can't confirm nor deny the existence of werewolves.
I'm not asking you to speak on behalf of the entire Wisconsin
werewolf community. No, I won't do that either.
Okay.
I think you'll have to find one and ask them.
I read this earlier. I thought it was kind of interesting. This is the 50th anniversary of the tabletop version of D&D, and it was created in Lake Geneva. Is that true?
That is true. So it comes out in 1974. Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson publish it together. So Dave actually lives in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Gary lives in Lake Geneva. And Gary and Dave and a whole bunch of their friends in groups sort of around the country were war gamers. So they would get together and reenact with their metal miniatures. They'd reenact historic battles. And at one point during this time, Gary kind of thought, well, wouldn't it be fun if we had like fantasy battles going on? So think of, you know, Tolkien's work, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, where there's these fantasy battles going on, or King Arthur and Merlin, right? The Knights of the Round Table. So incorporating those heroic kind of fantasy battles and fantasy creatures like trolls and orcs into the regular wargaming rules. And people thought that was pretty crazy. That came out in a set of rules called Chainmail. And Dave and his group, Dave was a younger guy at the time, was playing with a group in Minnesota. They really thought that was cool. Dave had been playing another game called, there's a lot of Daves in this story, by another Dave called Brownstein.
I just noticed that. Yeah.
And it was mission-based. And that mission-based game gave all these kind of individuals something to do in the game. Like if you were the postmaster, you had to get a letter delivered across town while bombs are falling, whatever the mission was. So Dave looked at Chainmail and said, cool, what if we were all heroes and monsters, and, you know, and the heroes had to fight the monsters with these rules? And then Dave had the idea, well, what if I put the monsters in a dungeon? That would be cool, wouldn't it? So he has this castle, this Blackmoor campaign environment that he creates in this first dungeon. So Dave Arneson is the first dungeon master.
Wow.
And he meets Gary at the second Gen Con. What's great about history is you can look all this stuff up. I have some of it memorized, but I really prefer to be reading what I wrote recently. Anyway, he meets Dave quite early on. Dave talks to him about what he's doing. Gary gets excited. Dave and another Dave, who creates a dungeon board game, drive south to Lake Geneva from St. Paul, show Gary and his folks this great idea of Blackmoor and how he's used chainmail rules from Gary to create this thing. Gary says, send me all your stuff. We got to get this out before anybody else does. Dave sends him boxes of stuff. Gary's a great organizer, and Dave Arneson always said he was a faster typer too. So Gary types us this little box, this pamphlet of rules, and even though he and Dave are still basically arguing about what should be in the booklet, he's like, I'm publishing it now. And he publishes in 74 the first edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow. That's pretty cool. My guest is Kurt Griesmer. He is the education manager for the Wisconsin Historical Society grades K-12. And he's talking, really more educating us, I guess you'd say, on Dungeons & Dragons, certainly me. We have a text, Kurt, from Daniel in Menasha. It says, as Dungeon Master, what's the oddest attempt a player tried that you had to deny as a DM?
I don't know. If it's the great thing about D&D is if a player describes it and you can think about it a bit, you can assign a number to it and make them roll for it. So, I mean, there's things that you just say, well, yeah, you can try that and you're going to die. It's up to you. And, you know, that. But D&D's the best thing about it is stretching your imagination, right? Like making so the players are faced with sort of an impossible thing to do. And somebody comes out of left field with an idea that the DM's never thought of. The DM has to be quick on their feet and figure out, okay, well, that's kind of cool. I wonder how hard that would be to do. And that's something that kind of, it's a little more weedy, but it's called difficulty class. You assign a number to it. And then you have the player roll to try to beat that number. And it's all on the die 20, which is sort of the most important die in the game, a 20-sided die.
Wow. So, Kurt, there have been several movies made along the lines of Dungeons & Dragons or with that subject matter. We talk about movies a lot on this show. Have any of them struck a chord with you? Did you see Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves from 2023?
Absolutely.
Tell me
about that was great.
Did any of these tickle your fancy, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. I loved Honor Among Thieves. It was written. What was great about the movie, it was written for everybody. It was a movie for the general public who did not play Dungeons & Dragons, right? Like, you could go and just laugh and enjoy the movie just knowing it's a comedic fantasy movie along the lines of The Princess Bride back from the late 80s. If you were a gamer like me, you could look at certain parts of it and go, I know what level that is. I know what, they're in real trouble now. You know, like you could sort of use your little gamer mind and keep it to yourself if you didn't want to know anybody else next to you who wasn't a gamer, right? But it was really fun. It was a fun movie that really just, it pulled on a lot of tropes that players who play the game know about. It pulled on a lot of lore that players know and a lot of lore that players don't know. I mean, you know, the game's been around 50 years. People have written a lot of fantasy stuff basically about it. So I particularly love the Chonky dragon charging out of the tunnel, not being able to really fly because it just had eaten too many things all its life. So pretty great.
It got excellent reviews. So that's why I kind of thought you were going to say that. Have you noticed more people playing the game after a movie comes out like that? Do you have any way to gauge that data?
It doesn't hurt it.
Yeah.
I did a quick interview with the folks from Roll20, one of those online gathering places I talked about. And we talked a little bit about how the pandemic impacted playing Dungeons & Dragons. So, of course, it's a social game. You want to be at the same table with each other if you can. But during the pandemic, it wasn't safe for us all to be together. So people turned more and more to these online venues. And what the kind gentleman at Roll20 told me is they could see the advance of the pandemic by the countries, the number of people signing up for the game in countries as it went through. And the D&D movie certainly didn't hurt anything, but it has been becoming more and more popular since the advent of what's called the fifth edition of Dungeons & Dragons from Wizards of the Coast. So that really sparked a huge upswing in popularity of the game again.
That's so great. This has been really informative. And I please thank Rebecca for me for connecting us, because this has been a fun interview. Do you have anything you're watching, Dungeons and Dragons or not related? We've got about a minute left. Anything you can recommend for binge watching purposes, Kurt?
Right now, we're just sort of floating through a whole bunch of things here at home. I'm reading the entire science fiction series from The Three Body Problem that was on Netflix briefly. I'm on the third book. They're huge, and they're really interesting reads coming from another culture where you're just kind of, you kind of get this really great look at what science fiction looks like from not a Western point of view, right? Like, it's kind of a great book. But yeah, so, you know, nothing in particular comes to mind. We just, you know, we read, we watch the same, you know, we're watching, I think we just watched Kevin Can Go F Himself just recently. You know, it's a cute series on Netflix. So Shrinking on Apple, a lot of fun if you like sort of comedic comedies. Slow Horses on Apple is a lot of fun if you like mysteries with people chewing through the scenery. So,
yeah, it's a that's a great one. I love Slow Horses. And it's funny that you, I don't know what kind of person you are thinking you're reading books here, but that's old school, buddy. Kurt, thanks so much. It's been fun getting to know you. Have a great night, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Hey, thanks a lot, Pete. I really appreciate it. I'll say hi to Rebecca for you.
Thank you. That's Kurt Griesmer from the Wisconsin Historical Society talking D&D. I have a little better understanding. Okay, man, what about you? No, it seems like a game without a lot of parameters. Like, you kind of, that still confuses me a little bit, but it does sound interesting.
I'm one of those people that learns as they go when it comes to board games.
Yeah.
So I'll probably have to play it to actually understand it. I don't know.
Still trying to perfect. Sorry. So we'll wrap this up when we come back. We got a great clip from The Princess Bride, and we'll finish reading your text. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. The experts, assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when
I caught up with a pastime intimate friend, she said. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You've been on the fast train, and it's going off the rail,
and you can't come back, can't come back again. Chris from the 608. I love when texters talk to each other, when they respond to other texts. It's so great. Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie says his favorite soup is putting a McDonald's chocolate shake that he pours into a bowl and eats with a spoon. He calls it his summertime gelato gazpacho. And Chris from Janesville in the 608 says, if he doesn't put the fries on top, ugh. LMAO, baby. Eric Gulbranson, I hope I'm saying that last name right, gives us a wave on the stream. Ezekiel Drews says, in response to Daniel Wheeler's film, it'll be playing Sunday at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. And JB says, the guy behind the guy, JB Thompson, says, ask him about abandoned art. Sorry, I just saw that, JB. But I have a feeling you already know about his abandoned art. We got way more information than we needed from Daniel while he was here. I think that's so funny to walk around with something like that and have to explain to people. Because most people, they don't know you're a filmmaker. They could just think you're nuts. You know what I mean? And I love that he's willing to walk around. Just have to explain that. All right, so it is Wallace Shawn's birthday today. He was in the film The Princess Bride. The guy's been in a ton of films. He's a great actor. But he's the guy in The Princess Bride that kept saying, inconceivable. And he's a phenomenal actor. This is a scene we're going to play to close the show. And it's him and Carrie Elwes kind of having a brain off, if you will. They're trying to outsmart each other. And Carrie Elwes, of course, is the masked man trying to save Robin Wright. If you have not seen The Princess Bride, you must run out and rent it. It is an absolute masterpiece. And Wallace Shawn is the mastermind behind the kidnapping, and Wesley, the Carrie Elwes character, is trying to get her back. So he has a poison cup, and he's trying to outsmart Wallace Shawn, who thinks he can't be outsmarted. And here is that scene. It's a little long, but stick with us. It's almost 3 minutes long, but it's worth it.
All right. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemies? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision then?
Not remotely. Because Iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows. And Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going! Where was I?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. And you must have suspected I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong. So you could have put the poison in your own goblet, trusting on your strength to save you, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've also bested my Spaniard, which means you must have studied. And in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal, so you would have put the poison as far from yourself as possible, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to trick me into giving away something. It won't work.
It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is.
Then make your choice.
I will, and I choose. What in the world can that be?
What? Where?
He switches.
I don't see anything.
Glasses.
Oh, well, I could have sworn I saw something. No matter.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. First, let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned. Ha ha, you fool. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia. But only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Who are you?
I'm no one to be trifled with. That is all you ever need know.
To think, all that time it was your cup that was poisoned.
They were both poisoned. I spent the last few years building up an immunity to Iocane powder.
One of my favorite scenes in movie history. So brilliant. I spent the last few years developing immunity. Beautiful. Wesley and Vizzini are the character names. Check out The Princess Bride if you have not seen it. It's just such a great movie. Robin Wright Penn at the time, now just Robin Wright, is great in it too. And there's so many great cameos. Andre the Giant, Christopher Guest, Chris Sarandon. Really great movie. Check it out. This ended up being a good show. Would you agree, Conrad?
Yeah, definitely. I would say so.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Hard.
You know, I thanked Chris Casper and Eric or whoever was there in Madison. I don't know. I know Casper was on it. I don't know who was helping him, but you had the tools out. I don't know what you were doing with the power drill, but you got things working with, you worked with the guys. I can't say thank you enough. Thank you for sticking with us, texters and listeners. It was great. Thank you for your input. Thank you for your soup suggestions. Did we get all the texts? Did we forget somebody?
You know, I didn't say mine.
Oh, what's yours? I don't think I said mine.
It's loaded potato.
Ooh, that's good.
And that's the only soup I actually like. I don't like any other soup.
Really?
I just don't like soup in general. But loaded potato, and I can do cheesy broccoli. But those are the only ones.
You like those cream soups. I like a chicken tortilla, a good chicken noodle. My wife makes great cauliflower soup. I love them all. There's no wrong answers, folks. We're all winners. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you to my guests, Daniel Wheeler and Kurt Griesman. We will reschedule Earl when he is not busy making movies like the big shot that he is. Thanks for all your texts. Great having you with me on this Tuesday. We hope it felt like a Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow night to do this all over again. I'm Pete Schwabe. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. I'll take it to your best friend's house. Mama made when making out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll take it to your best friend's house. I loved you then.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.